If you would like to turn with me, you can go to Nehemiah chapter 6. And like last week, we're going to be reading several scriptures throughout the sermon, so I'm not going to ask you to stand up and down, but I do ask you, out of reverence for God's word, to place your hand over your heart. Well, just keep your finger right there, Nehemiah 6. And let's kind of do a very quick review of last week. Nehemiah had a vision. Nehemiah had a vision of Jerusalem restored because the gates were torn down. The walls were destroyed. The city was lying in ruins, and his heart was broken. And God gave him a vision. He saw the city restored, and he went to make sure that that happened. And God made the way for it to happen, paved the way before him so that he could go and rebuild the wall and reset the gates. However, last week we learned that when God gives a vision, Satan sends his minions. Let's say it together. When God gives a vision, Satan sends his minions. And that is what happened. Do not ever confuse lack of problems with God's will. Because chances are, if you are in God's will, there's going to be problems. Because when you're in God's will, the devil's afraid of you. He was afraid of Nehemiah, and he was afraid of the city being rebuilt. So his first opposition was that this sort of thing shouldn't be done. Just leave everything alone. Leave everything the way it is. Things are how they're supposed to be. It's just how it's supposed to be. Just leave it alone. And his second opposition was, well, not only should this not be done, it can't be done. You're going to fail. You're going to make a fool out of yourself. You're going to look ridiculous. All your efforts are going to come to nothing. It's just better not to start. And then the third opposition is, if you can't pull somebody away and they're going to start anyway, start a fight. Start a fight. How many times have churches been in the middle of something great and they'll start a fight over something stupid? I'm sorry, you're not supposed to use the word stupid. Ridiculous. Inane. No, I like stupid. They'll get into a fight over something stupid. But it's those kinds of things that can stop ministry. And so we talked last week about how we would avoid those things. And the gates were restored and the walls were more than half complete when we left off last week. Now we're coming to what my personal opinion is, the devil's greatest weapon. Because it is so subtle and it's so effective. When you're hearing negative reports, you can say that's the devil. When you're being opposed and fought with, you can say that's the devil. But this so many times we do not recognize. And that is distraction. Put your hands over your hearts, please. Nehemiah chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. Now when it was reported to Sanballat and Tobiah and to Geshem the Arab and to the rest of our enemies that I had built the wall and there was no gap left in it, though up at the time I hadn't set the doors and the gates, Sanballat and Geshem sent to me saying, come, let us meet together in one of the villages in the plain of Ono. but they intended to do me harm. So I sent messengers to them saying, I'm doing a great work and cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it to come down to you? They sent to me four times in this way, and I answered them in the same manner. Distraction. Oh, yeah. You can be in the middle of something wonderful, and all of a sudden it's, look at me. Look over here. And I don't know about you, but I confess to being, you know, can be easily distractible, and in other places you could blow the house up and I wouldn't know it. If I am reading a book, the house could explode, and unless it got on the page, I wouldn't know it. Because when I'm reading, I'm focused and I'm there. I'm in that space on the pages. But other things, for instance, when I sit down and have to fill out reports, it's more like this. Refill the bird feeders, and I don't even have bird feeders. Maybe I should put a load of laundry in. Is that the ice cream man? I wonder if the mail is here. Maybe just a couple of Doritos. Kitty. I love that in this cartoon they put rabbit ears on the guy. Now, for those of you who are young and don't have a clue, back in the old days before cable, you had these little things sitting on your television called rabbit ears. They were antenna that allowed you to actually pull in the station. And you had to adjust your rabbit ears periodically because the station would go away. And you had to move your rabbit ears, and because your television lost focus. We lose focus so easily. We're easily distractible people, particularly in the day and time that we live in, where we're used to a screen in front of us that changes every few seconds. People have a very difficult time concentrating. It's just hard to do. And I really worry about the youngest ones now, because, you know, if you want to operate your smartphone, hand it to a 2-year-old. Not a 12-year-old, a 2-year-old. But, you know, other things that require concentration, I don't know. I kind of despair about that. I kind of worry about that because we are so distractible. We have the weapons of mass distraction. Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. We have Solitaire. We've got Pinterest. I didn't figure I'd put your all sins up there without putting mine. I do love Pinterest. I haven't got to be on it in about 2 weeks now because I've been too busy. I miss it. The last time I looked, and I have to admit this was some time ago, I had 108,000 pins. Oh, don't look shocked. I have 102 boards. For those of you who do not know what Pinterest is, because some of you are looking a little confused, Pinterest is like a electronic bulletin board where you pin up the recipes you want to try and, you know, that new style and all of those. I mean, it's basically a chick thing. Okay, so that's the reason you guys are going, huh? But they have, you know, they have guys, you know, car things and stuff like that. But I don't know why anybody would look at it. Not when you can look at art and recipes and crafts and how to make this and how to make that and 4,012 ways to spend your money before 5 o'clock in the morning. So Pinterest, I discovered it was a time waster for me because I'd start on it and then it would be 2 hours later before I knew it. So I don't do that anymore. I give myself a time limit. I didn't say I couldn't do it anymore. I gave myself a time limit so that it wouldn't take up my whole evening. It's so easy to become distracted in the time wasters. And it's not just time. I hesitate to say this, don't apply it too liberally, but there are people who waste your time. There are people who waste your time. They're negative people that waste your time. There are people that you would love to help, but you can't. And you've been trying for 40 years. You can quit now. You have my permission to quit. There are just some things that are going to just waste time. God has given us such a short amount of time here. If you live to be 100 in the whole scheme of the universe, 100 years is a blink of an eye. You can get more money. You can get more stuff. You can get more of anything but time. Don't waste it because every moment that's gone is gone forever. We can't afford to be distracted. We're here for such a short time. Let's accomplish something. I love this sign. The unfinished projects Lowe's sign. Because let's face it, how many unfinished projects are at your house? All of them. All of them. We'll start on something, but we're not that big on finishing. Why? Because we got distracted by something else. Something other, and we just somehow never seem to get. I have got all kinds of unfinished projects at my house. I do. You know, true confessions. There are unfinished projects at my house. Artists, I have got one flip-flop that has been decorated for months. Just waiting on me to do the other one. I've got this one done, but the other one has like 4 stitches on it. I think I just ought to finish the other one. Well, hope that one didn't make the recording. Oh, Lordy. You see what I work with, Lord. But we all do it. But if it's worth starting, it's worth finishing. I think that doesn't say that so much that we need to finish stuff as it does that we need to start only what we intend to finish. If it's not worth finishing, it's not worth starting. Like I say, time is the only thing that we can't get back. Distractions will keep us from being great. The main difference between people who achieve greatness, and I'm not talking about fame or fortune. Some of the greatest people I know are people whose names you've never heard of and never will. But the way to achieve greatness is to stay focused. That's between success and failure. Staying focused. Not giving up. Not being distracted. It is the devil's most subtle, most effective tool. And did you see what we were supposed to do about that? We're going to come back to that. In Nehemiah 6:3, it tells us, I am doing a great work. Why should I stop and come down to you? They have blinders on horses in races for a reason. It's to keep away the distractions. Keep your eyes on the prize. Stay focused. And remember, if the enemy can distract you from your time alone with God, he can isolate you from the help that comes from God alone. Your time with God every day should be your most sacred, most important time. Yet how many distractions keep us from it? Opposition number 5. Nehemiah 6, beginning with verse 6. Well, let me start with 5. In the same way, Sanballat for the fifth time sent his servant to me with an open letter in his hand, and in it was written, it is reported among the nations, and Gershom also says it, that you and the Jews intend to rebel, and that's why you're building a wall. According to this report, you wish to become their king. You've also set up prophets to proclaim in Jerusalem concerning you, there is a king in Judah. And now be reported to the king according to these words. So, come therefore and let us confer together. Oh, rumors. Rumors. Did you hear? Have you heard the latest? Listen to this. Can you believe what that Joe Odom did? Yes. Yep. That's the reason I said that, because you don't, it doesn't matter what comes after that. People don't even wait to hear. They go, yeah, I believe it. I believe it. Let's face it, too many lives have been ruined by people speaking what they ought not to have spoken, half-truths, partial truths, out-and-out lies that have destroyed ministries, that have destroyed reputations, that have destroyed lives, rumor and slander. We need to keep our mouths shut. Number one, don't speak it. But number two, don't listen to it. You won't be tempted to speak it if you don't know it. And it said in this scripture that we just read, he sent his servant with an open letter. Not a closed, sealed letter just for the recipient, but an open letter so people could read it on its way and know what was going on. And he said, you know, we hear that what you want is to set up your own kingdom. How many times has somebody been trying to do something good and people get their nose out of joint because it stepped on their little toes? Because they're doing my job, my responsibility. Well, chances are if you were doing your job, then they wouldn't have to. I'm just saying. But I've heard it, and so have you. Who do they think they are? They're trying to run this place. And good things stop. And good things stop. I love the way Nehemiah handled this one. Beginning with verse 8. Then I sent to him saying, no such thing as you have said has been done. You are inventing them out of your own mind. For they wanted to frighten us into thinking their hands will drop from the work and it will not be done. But now, O God, strengthen my hands. Let truth be your shield and God be your strength. Just don't listen to it. Just don't listen to it. You know, when there's an election going on and people are slinging mud right and left, I hate that. I hate it from all sides. Why can't people just say, this is what I stand for? This is what I will try to do if elected, and you just make your pick based on what you would like to see happen. Why doesn't that happen? Why do we have to call people bad names, and why do we have to say things about their character, and why do we have to just go on and on and on about this stuff that makes no difference, and you don't know what's true and what's not? The dirtiest election in history, a number one dirtiest election in history, makes this one look like a cakewalk, was Andrew Jackson's election. You wouldn't believe some of the things that were said. I tell you what, they were bad enough I won't say them in a church. What they were saying about each other. Do you know that not one issue was ever discussed? It was all about assassinating the other one's character. Why is that? And the best thing that you can do when those slings and arrows are coming is to allow the truth and God fight your battle for you. Because the more you try to defend yourself, the more the attack comes and the worse it seems to get. Let truth be your shield and God be your strength. And then we have the problem. Opposition number 6. The actual probably least used but potentially deadly is direct threat. Direct threat either to your person, your reputation, or your ministry. Direct threats, they come. One day when I went to the house of Shemaiah, son of Delaiah, son of Meterabel, who was confined to his house, he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us close the doors of the temple, for they're coming to kill you. Indeed, tonight they're coming to kill you. But I said, should a man like me run away? Would a man like me go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. Then I perceived and saw that God had not sent him at all, but had pronounced the prophecy against me because of Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. And he was hired for this purpose, to intimidate me and make me sin by acting in this way so that they could give me a bad name in order to taunt me. Fear. Fear. And we have a reason to be fearful about some things, or at least cautious, because, friends, it ain't over there anymore. This is a picture of Charleston and the church that was invaded by a gunman and the people that he killed. And almost as bad as fear is anger. And I have to say that on the Sunday after this happened, it got so much media that I was afraid it would inspire others to do the same thing, because they, all the crazy people, want their 15 minutes of fame. And I considered bringing a gun into this church to protect you. I considered doing that, because no one will hurt you except over my dead body. And I would protect you in any way that I could. And then I thought, that's a decision based on fear and anger. No decision based on fear is ever a good decision. Say that one with me. No decision based on fear is ever a good decision. Do not refrain from doing something based on fear, and do not do something based on fear, because fear is never of God. God did not give us a spirit of fear. Fear leads to bad decisions. Never, ever make a decision that is based, that has fear as its foundation. Are the threats real? Yeah, not quite as real as the media would like you to think they are. Because let's face it, that's what sells. Fear-mongering. There are a million wonderful things that happen every day. How many of them are you going to see on the news? Happy, wonderful things happen all the time. People are helped. Miracles happen. All these really great, wonderful things happen all around us all the time. How many of those make the front page? You know why? Because that's not what people want to read. They're just giving them what they want. I love the response. Should a man like me go into the temple? Because going into the temple was forbidden. He was not of the tribe of Levi. And he says in a prayer, remember Tobiah and Sanballat, O my God, according to these things that they did, and also the prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets who wanted to make me afraid. Fear not, before God does not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Fear is a form of insanity, you know. That's why you never make good decisions based on fear. False evidence appearing real. Fear not. In the result of all of this, despite everything that went on, in 52 days, the job was done. Without power tools, without power lifts, without a pneumatic nailer, all 13 gates and the entire wall around the city, no small place, by the way, were restored. It was done in 52 days with a handful of people and power, and with, you know, their only manpower. primitive tools. How can that happen? Focus. Do not let the devil take you away from what God has given you to do. What is the vision for Kendricks Creek? What is the vision? Do you know it? Hmm? To make disciples of Christ. Why? For the transformation of the world. Are we living up to our vision? Or are we letting the devil keep us from the best? We're still doing good, but I think we get kept from the best. Never settle for the good, people, because you get what you settle for. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.